Hello, ladies. This is Teresa Senecola and Alicia Baptiste with the Prayer Cafe for the International Christian Mompreneur Network. And this is our weekly dose of spiritual nourishment that I look forward to. We're kind of in a shift in our schedule these last couple of weeks, and we're recording these now on Mondays. We're hoping to get a consistent time and date for you ladies who want to join us live. But in the meantime, Alicia and I are still going to get together and pray and share with you the recording so you can listen in later. And Alicia is here with me now, so I will let her take it from here.
Okay, Teresa. Today our scripture reading comes from Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. And it reads as follows. Therefore, I urge you, brothers or sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I want to talk today about what Paul is talking about in that set of scriptures that talks about giving our bodies as living sacrifices. So before we dive into what it means to be a living sacrifice, I thought I'd just give a little bit of background information on sacrifices in general and just how the Israel, like the people that he wrote to, their understanding of what he meant when he said sacrifices, what they understood when he said sacrifices. So in the Old Covenant, God gave his people, the people of Israel, lots of laws and regulations on how to worship him. And they were to use the primary means of worshiping him was through sacrifices. They sacrificed animals. They also offered other types of things like olive oil from their olives and wine from their grapes. They also offered grains and so forth as well. But primarily when they talked about sacrifices, it was usually an animal that was given, and that animal was supposed to be an animal that was considered the very best of what they had to offer. It was supposed to be an unblemished animal. It was, so it had no disease. It had nothing wrong with it, at least as far as they could see or tell. They weren't supposed to have any sort of physical defects. But when they looked at what they had to offer, they were to look at everything they had and find the very best of what they had, and then they were to give that to God as an expression of gratitude for what he had given to them, for the way he had taken care of them, for the way he had provided weather and conditions for their animals to prosper and to multiply, for their crops that were able to grow. All of those were just expressions of like, wow, God has done all of this for us over this year. Now we want to turn around and we want to give him, we want to worship him. And we did that through offering sacrifices. One of the things that is very, very clear as they offered sacrifices, it cost them something in order to make a sacrifice. So they were to take something that was valuable. It meant that they needed to take something that was valuable to them and give it up for the purpose of expressing love and gratitude to God. So again, it cost them something in order to make a sacrifice. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about the stories. I was doing a little bit of research just to prepare a little bit of background information for you ladies. And there was a time when David was going to make a sacrifice in order to stop a plague that was going on in his nation. and he killed lots of animals. I think they said like 1,000 animals in order to give that as a very abundant, generous sacrifice to God on behalf of his entire nation. And the place where he was going to make the sacrifice was owned by someone else, and he wanted to use that place. And the person who owned the property said, well, oh, you're the king. I'll give you this property. And David says, no, I will not make a sacrifice that costs me nothing. And so he refused to take that land for free. He wanted to pay the man for the land because he wanted that sacrifice to cost him something. That was his way of giving up something of value for the purpose of worshiping and honoring God. Paul teaches us to sacrifice not animals and not simply a physical sacrifice, but he tells us to sacrifice our very lives. And so what that means is that we give up our lives as an act of worship. It also means that our lives are no longer our lives to live as we please. I think about the scripture that says that our lives are not our own anymore. We have been bought with a price. And so we are to honor God with our bodies, with our lives. So let's talk a little bit more about this worship. We said that sacrifice is basically, it's worship. It's how we worship God. So some things to think about as we're talking about worship. I think many of us as Christians have put worship in this nice, neat little box. We say worship is when we sing songs to God. Worship is when we go to some sort of sanctuary or church, some building that we set aside. And all those things are worship. I would agree with that. We would say, well, worship is when I read my Bible and when I set aside time to pray, or worship is when I am in my Bible study. And we very much compartmentalized worship to be only these acts that look very spiritual. But I want to propose today that Paul is saying that worship is more than that. Yes, worship are those things, can be those things, but worship is even bigger than that. Worship encompasses every single aspect of our life. There is absolutely no part of our life that shouldn't be saturated with worship to God. So here are some things I wanted to share with you about worship. Worship is not forced on us. It's a choice. And it comes from a heart of gratitude. So let's talk about the type of worship that God accepts. So before I do that, I want to talk about what he doesn't accept. So let's start there. The kind of worship that God doesn't accept. And I know that there's a worship that God does not accept because in the Old Testament, there were times when the people of God did the things that God told them to do. They brought the sacrifices. They followed the rules. They did what God told them to do, like, you know, on paper. But there were times when he said, I reject your offering. I reject your sacrifice. I don't want it. It's not acceptable to me. And so I looked at those times in the Bible to see, well, what was it that he didn't like about it? And what can we learn from that? He does not accept actions that are made under compulsion. In other words, we feel like we have to do it, but we really don't want to do it. But, you know, it's the quote-unquote right thing to do, so I'm going to do it. And you kind of do it with this heart of complaining and with this reservation. Those are actions, or that's worship that God does not accept. When we have actions that are meant to impress people, it looks good on the outside. We seem all spiritual and holy when we do it, or we just seem like a really wonderful person, talented person, competent person, whatever the thing is that people are like, wow, that's so amazing that you did that, and you're doing it for the purpose of people, impressing people, getting people's approval. God doesn't accept that. when we do things or give things and we give our leftovers, this is what I mean. We enjoy the very best of what we have, and then we're like, okay, now that I've enjoyed everything, then, okay, I still got this little bit left over. I'll give it to God. And that can look like money. It could be money where you go, okay, all right, I'm going to make sure I get everything, all of my needs and all my desires, all everything I want to get taken care of. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I've got this left over. I'm going to give that to God. It could look like using your time and your skills and even your material thing, even the material things you have. You're like, I'm going to keep the very best for me, make sure I get everything I want, all my needs met, make sure I'm happy and satisfied. And then I'm like, oh, okay, now let me give the leftovers. Let me give the rest to God. And so I just wanted to pose this question that I just want you to ponder and pray over. And to be honest with you, it's a convicting statement for me that I'm really having to go before God and maybe not liking some things that he's showing me about myself. The question is, do we give God our freshest time, our most alert moments, the times when we have the best clarity of thought? Or do we take that time and we use it for achieving our own goals and desires? Something to ponder, because there's a lot of wisdom, a lot of teaching that says that we should take the freshest time, the most alert moments, or the time when we're thinking the clearest, and we should use that to accomplish our goals, do the things that we want to get done that day. And I believe the Holy Spirit is challenging us and saying, what if we took that time and we spent that time pondering, praying, and focusing on who God is and listening to his voice? Or are we going to give him the leftovers after we've gotten all of our things on our to-do list checked, and then we're at the very end, and we're about to fall asleep at night, and we're exhausted and tired, and then we go, okay, now I'm going to spend that time because I've gotten everything I wanted to get done. Now I'm going to turn my attention to him. Just something to think about. So a few other things I wanted to say about sacrifices that God does not accept. Our throwaways. Do we give God our throwaways? Those things that we really don't even want. It's not even valuable to us. Remember I said the sacrifice is supposed to be something that is valuable, not something that we don't even really consider valuable, and because it's not valuable to us, we really don't care about it, well, I'll give that to God. And that can look like, well, you know, I'm going to give something to the homeless shelter, and I really don't like these shoes. They're not really useful to me, so I'm going to give this to somebody. Well, they ought to be happy they're getting something, because if I don't do this, they won't have anything. Maybe we can have a different attitude towards how we give to people that are in need, how we spend our time, just some things to ponder. Are we giving our throwaways to God, the things that we don't want? Even in our time, when we get to the end of our day and we're like, well, I don't have anything else to do. I've accomplished all my goals, so I guess I'll spend time with God now. Is that our throwaway moment? So here are some other sacrifices that God does not accept. Actions that are driven by guilt or fear or the need to prove our worth. Doing things because we feel guilty. Doing things because we're afraid something bad is going to happen to us or somebody else, or just feeling the need like, God, I need you to love me, so I'm going to do A, B, and C, and then you'll love me. Or if I do A, B, and C, then they'll love me. I have to prove to you, God, that I'm good enough. I have to prove to you, God, that I'm significant. Those are actions that he does not accept. And lastly, actions meant to manipulate God into giving us something. if I do A, then he'll give me B. Or if I give A, he will do this thing that I want him to do. If I'm serving in church and I'm giving to the poor and I'm helping such and such, then of course I expect God to do A, B, and C for me. Those are the kinds of sacrifices that God does not accept. So what does he accept? He accepts imperfect actions prompted by sincere love and gratitude. He accepts imperfect actions and even thoughts. They don't even necessarily have to be outward actions. Imperfect actions and thoughts and attitudes that are prompted by sincere love and gratitude. So what are some characteristics of those imperfect actions? It's genuine. It comes from a heart of sincerity, pure. It comes from the heart. It's generous, not stingy with, I'm only going to give the bare minimum, but that sincerity that comes from the heart wells up in giving the very best that we have to give. It's filled with gratitude. Our actions are done with this thankfulness in our hearts for what God has done and for the opportunity to be able to do or give the thing that we're able to give. It usually involves loving people, which means people benefit from our actions. And lastly, the part that I do not like is it may involve pain or some type of discomfort, and it may cost us more than we anticipated. So giving our lives as worship means anything we do or don't do can be an expression of worship, even things that don't look spiritual at all. Eating, reading, paying bills, making business calls, checking email, cooking dinner, cleaning toilets, coaching a client, writing, playing sports, driving children to their activities, listening, resting. Anything we do can be worship if it is done from the heart, prompted by sincere love and gratitude to God for all he has done for us. Anything that is honorable and good and noble, praiseworthy, any of those things can become worship if we choose to let it be. I make the caveat, anything that's honorable, good, and noble, praiseworthy. Of course, if we say, oh, I'm going to go rob a bank as an expression of love to God, then we understand that is not something that is good and beneficial. So anything that's good and beneficial can become an act of worship. Paul says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So I wanted to touch on that, in view of God's mercy. In other words, he's saying, we offer our lives to God as a response to what he's done for us. So that means that every single day, multiple times a day, really, we need to consider and remember what God the Father has done for us through Christ Jesus. It means taking time to explore the vastness of his love and his infinite generosity. It means preaching the gospel to yourself every single day, that good news, reminding yourself of why the news is actually good, reminding yourself of the inheritance that he says that he has for you. And maybe you're not reminding yourself, maybe learning for the very first time or expanding in your knowledge and understanding of what God has done, what he has given to us every single day. As we meditate on those things, as we ponder those things, as we study, as the Holy Spirit opens up our mind to understand more and more the gifts that he has poured into our lives through Christ Jesus. The response, Paul is saying, is that we offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. We say, oh, wow, look at what you've done. What you've done, I do not deserve. It is so abundant. It is so overflowing. It is so full of love. It is so vast. As a result, I just want to express my love to you. And what more can I give to you than all that I am? I want to give you every single part of me. And so, God, as we come before your throne this afternoon, I just pray that every single lady that is listening, that you would show them afresh what you've done for them, that you would reveal, give them new revelations, fresh new revelations of your love towards them. Remind them, remind me of what we already know. And Lord God, teach us, Lord, more of who you are, and more of who you have made us to be, so that we don't strive for people's approval, or that we don't even strive for your approval, that we know that we have already been fully accepted by you, that we are children of the Most High God, we are daughters of the King. And we ask that you would fill us with the spirit of revelation so that we might know the hope that awaits us, the great inheritance that you've given us. And may this understanding and knowledge not sit in our heads and make us feel arrogant. As Paul talks about, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. But may instead it just generate this love within us, just this overwhelming outpouring of love that just has to be expressed to you as we love the people around us in our actions and the very smallest of things that we do. Lord, just give us an awareness of how we can express our love and worship to you in everything we do. Teach us that today, Holy Spirit. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alicia. That was my that's my verse of the year. So I loved hearing. Yes, I loved your take on it and the messages that you have given me, because, you know, I've studied that verse this year, and every time you hear somebody else talk about it, you pick up something new. So I appreciate that.
Wow, that's cool.
Yes. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us, and we will keep you posted as we kind of shift our day and time a little bit. Thank you for being patient with us, and I will see you all next time.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.